Good morning, Fellowship. Welcome to our live Facebook feed this morning. I'm glad to have an opportunity to spend a few moments with you, there in your home. And I'll tell you what, I'm actually glad to be here in the house of the Lord. This is a place of refuge for me, and man, it just feels good to walk in the door. I'm not saying that to make you jealous that I get to come here and that you don't, but I will say that it is good just to be in the house of the Lord this morning. And I ask you for just the next few minutes, if you will, grab your Bible, and we're getting ready to get into a message that God's given me to preach this morning, and I ask you to be much in prayer for us as we get ready to get into the Word. But before we do, I want to give you a quick reminder that until further notice that all of our services will be live streamed. This includes our youth classes being canceled, our pursuit classes are canceled right now, and if you need to talk to Kirk, you can reach out to him by messenger or phone or text, and I'm sure that he would love to put a plan together so that y'all can share God's Word together. So reach out to him and that. But I am thankful for the opportunity that we have to live stream. I'm going to get a little bit redundant here and talk to you about sharing the message as we're in the message this morning. If you share this message while we're actually live, it takes precedence over anything else going on people's pages, and it gets the Word of God out there. It's not about seeing how many likes we can get or how many shares we can get. It's about knowing that the Word of God is getting out there to a lost and a dying world, to know that it's getting out to Christians who may need encouraging or who may need to look at their life and their walk with God and strengthening that walk. So if you will, while we're preaching this morning and while we're actually live, is a wonderful time to like and to share the message. I also want to say that when the time comes that we can come back to church, I feel like our services are going to completely change. I feel like there's going to be some things happen that we've never seen in the house of God before. And some of it will be very simple things, like while I'm in the middle of my preaching, instead of saying amen, I may look and you may just be doing this, giving me a big thumbs up. And that's also okay while we're in the message this morning. If you want to leave a comment, if you want to give a thumbs up, if you want to react to the post or whatever, you go ahead and do that. It's a great time for the church to interact one with another. I also want to say to you this morning, church, that I sure do miss you. It is not the same coming here without you. It's not the same coming here to preach. I miss the fellowship, the friendship. I miss the smiles, the laughs. I miss the way that we pick and joke and carry on one another. I miss the way that you impact my life and the strength that I get to draw from you. Someday soon, maybe we'll get to be together again here in the church house. And more than that, one day after a while, we'll all get to be together for all eternity in the presence of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. What a time that's going to be. Now, we all know that tomorrow at 5 o'clock that we actually have a stay-at-home order that goes into effect in North Carolina. And I do want to encourage you to protect yourself and to protect others and do what you can, do your part to help to get this situation under control so that we can be back together here at church. But I also want to encourage you with this. They can give all the orders that they want to. They can write all the legislation and everything that they want to do. But there is no order that they can give us as God's children that will keep us from being in the presence of God. There is nothing that they can do to keep me from calling out to a holy and a righteous God. Psalms chapter number 139, verses 8 through 10. The Bible says, "If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me." I want to encourage you this morning that no matter where you're at, you don't have to be here in the actual sanctuary. You don't have to be among other Christians. I know we love to draw the strength one from another and to fellowship one with another. But wherever you're at right now, you can be in the presence of God. If you will, take your Bibles and turn with me to Galatians chapter number 5. We'll be taking our scripture this morning from Galatians chapter number 5. Before we do read, I do want to go to the Lord in word of prayer and ask him to bless in the service today, to bless in the message, and to take his word and to speak to our hearts. If you will, bow your heads and pray with me and surely pray for me. Lord, we thank you for this day, and we thank you for all your many blessings. We thank you for this opportunity that we have, God, to open your word and to dig into your word for a few minutes and let you speak to our hearts. And God, may we always allow our hearts to be open, allow our lives to be open, and yield ourselves under your Holy Spirit. And God, I pray, dear Father, as we get into your word this morning, that you'll speak to us, God, that you'll allow us, God, to be in your presence. And thank you so much that no matter where we're at, that you've told us that you would never leave us and that you would never forsake us and that you'll go with us all the way, even unto the end of the world. God, thank you for your word. Thank you for the promises in your word. God, we don't ever know what we're going to face on tomorrow, but God, I'm glad to know that you're already there in my tomorrow. You're already holding my tomorrow. And God, you already know what's taking place in my life, and I want to thank you and praise you for that. God, I pray most of all, if there's one today that's listening, God, I pray, dear Father, if they're lost, that they'll see their need for a Savior, and wherever they're at, that they also, God, can ask you to come into their life, to forgive them of their sins, and they become one of your children. God, we thank you for loving old sinners like us. May we give you glory with our lives and point others to the cross of Christ. And in Jesus' name that I pray, amen. Galatians chapter number 5, we're going to begin reading with verse number 19. It hasn't been too long ago that we covered some of this scripture on a Wednesday night during a Bible study, and just seems like I couldn't get away from it this week. I studied here for a couple of days, and had actually had a thought come to my mind, tried to get away from it to preach something else, but God kept directing me back to here. So I want to share with you this morning, Galatians chapter number 5. Let's begin reading in verse number 19. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. Of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. As we look at verses 19 through verse number 21, we see a lot of things that is labeled off here as the works of the flesh. I want you to notice that that is plural and that there are many works of the flesh. And there are many things that are not listed here that are considered works of the flesh. And as we look at those things, I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time in these verses, because as we know, each and every one of us, that our flesh is very strong in our life, that our flesh has a lot of pull in our lives. And verses 19 through 21 are things that almost come natural to us. There's not a whole lot of time for not a whole lot of reason for us to spend a lot of time here, because it's one of those things that come natural to us. We don't have to teach people to sin. We don't have to teach our children to do the things that are wrong. That comes natural to them, but we have to turn around and teach them to do the things that are right. Fulfilling the works of the flesh is easy, it's pleasurable, and it is accepted by popular opinion. Also, fulfilling the works of the flesh is something that will keep you from having a right relationship or having a relationship at all with God. And if we spend our whole lives fulfilling the works of the flesh and never come to know Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, we'll find ourselves, as it is said there at the end of verse number 21, and those that do those such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. If we spend our whole lives fulfilling our flesh and living unto ourselves, and we never come to know Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, it will keep us from inheriting the kingdom of God. Let's continue reading in verse number 22. The Bible says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. I want to draw your attention to verse number 22. The third word there, I want you to notice that it is singular, but the fruit of the Spirit. There were many times in my life as I read this scripture that I read it as the fruits of the Spirit. But these are all attributes that build the fruit of the Spirit, singular, in our lives. If we know Jesus Christ as our personal Savior and we're trying to bear the fruit of the Spirit, there are 9 things that are listed here that should be part of our lives. There are 9 things listed here that should be fruit that comes out of our life. Now, I understand that some of these may occur easier in our lives than others. As we look at the 9 things, the 9 attributes that are the fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. I want you to look at verse number 25 for just a minute. As the Bible says, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. In other words, we as Christians, if we're going to talk the talk, we should walk the walk. We should put our money where our mouth is. Whatever you want to say, that if we're going to say that we belong to Christ, I know that I've heard a lot of times in my life, I've heard a lot of preachers, a lot of Christians say, and I understand exactly what they're saying. They're saying, when the saying is, when I got saved, Jesus saved my soul. He did not save my flesh. And I understand what they're saying there, because the Bible tells us that there's a constant battle between our flesh and our spirit, that there is a constant warfare that we have, that our flesh is pulling us one way and that our spirit is pulling us another. And I completely understand what they're saying, but I want you to notice this morning that you're exactly right, that our spirit was saved, that our soul was saved, but our flesh was not saved. But I want you to notice what is supposed to happen to that flesh. And verse number 24, even though we may say that our flesh was not saved, the Bible says, and they that are Christ, if you belong to Christ, if you have accepted Him as your personal Savior, if you have given your life to Him, and you're continually trying to surrender and yield your life unto Jesus Christ, I want you to notice what it says that we have done. We have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. It is something that we have to make a decision on, that we're going to crucify our flesh, that we're going to come to a decision that, you know what, we're going to allow this fruit of the Spirit to be evident in our life. We're going to allow the fruit of the Spirit to grow in our life. We're going to allow this fruit of the Spirit to be overcoming in our life, and we're going to continually crucify the flesh, that we're going to continue to hang that flesh every day and let it die in our lives. It is something that we have to make a decision on constantly. It wasn't something that when I got saved that I magically had the fruit of the Spirit in my life. It wasn't something that I magically, the works of the flesh disappeared out of my life, but it is something that I must do in my life. I must make an actual decision every single day that I'm going to crucify the flesh in my life. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. I want to come to you this morning with a message, and I want to ask you one question. Do you have any symptoms? Right now, if you get on the Google page and you want to write a little question there in Google and hit search, I almost dare you to go on there and say, what are the symptoms? You won't be surprised what comes up. If you just write the three or four little words that says, what are the symptoms? There'll be all kinds of things that come up. But this morning, I want us to take a spiritual look into our lives. And I want to ask you, as we look at these verses in Galatians chapter number 25 and verses 22 through verse 23, I want to ask you this morning, are you possessing any symptoms of being a Christian? We say this morning that we belong to Christ, that we are crucifying our flesh, that we want to walk with Him, that we want to surrender to Him, that we want to live with Him. But I want to ask you this morning, as people look at your life, as you look at your life this morning, and I do want to ask you this, don't look to your neighbor to the left, to the right. Don't look at the person up the road or down the road, but this is a good time to go and to look in the mirror and look at your own life and ask yourself, do you have any symptoms? The last couple of weeks, my wife has actually been kind of laughing at me a time or two, because we'll be watching television and they'll say something about the symptoms that you may experience with this virus. And one of the things is that you may run a fever. And I have caught myself throughout the day. I have caught myself even when those commercials come on, every time they say, do you have a fever or you may experience a fever, I'm sitting around feeling my forehead, wondering if I have a fever. No, I'm not terribly scared of this virus. I'm not terribly worried about it. I do believe we need to do what we can do to protect one another and to protect ourselves. But I want you to know that there are some symptoms that they're giving out. And if you possess these symptoms, you may have what's going around. But I want to ask you this morning, in our Christian life that Jesus is laying out here for us in Galatians, as Paul is writing to the church of Galatia, he says, I want to give you some symptoms that should be evident in your life. If you are a follower of Christ, if you are laying down your flesh and crucifying the flesh, first of all, this is the ones we have to spend a little time on, because these are the ones that we have to struggle with. These are the ones that we have to work on in our life and have to actually take an actual attention in our life to let these things grow But the fruit of the Spirit is love. Love is a willing, sacrificial giving of oneself for the benefit of another without thought of return. And what an example we have of love as Jesus Christ loved us so much. It was a sacrificial love that he come and give his life on an old rugged cross, that he didn't deserve the death that he went and died, that he didn't deserve the pain that he went through, but yet he loved you and I so much without thought of return that he went and laid down his life for you and I because of love. As you look at the next one is joy. Joy is gladness of heart. Even in the middle of a trial or a trouble or a tribulation, we as Christian people, we should have a symptom of joy in our life. I know that sometimes when things are uncertain, things look a little sketchy in our lives, if you will, that sometimes we have to work on our joy, that sometimes we have to look and say, am I still living in the joy of the Lord in the middle of this circumstance? But I want you to know, if we're going to allow the fruit of the Spirit to be evident in our life, that the symptom of joy needs to be present in our lives. If you look at number three, peace. Peace is tranquility of mind, freeing oneself from worry and fear. Now, you guys here at the church, you know that I've told you many times that I'm the worry ward of our family. If there is something going on, I'm the one that's worried about it. I'm the one that's wondering what the outcome is going to be. And my wife is just like, well, it'll be okay. But I'm the one that's worried about it. And this is something that it's not that I don't have the peace of God, but it is something that I have to work on in my life. It's a symptom in my life that I need to work on and allow the peace of God. He said that he'd give me a peace that passes all understanding. And the peace of God that I have in my life, that's a symptom in my life. That's a fruit in my life that I need to allow to be more evident. Number four, long-suffering, patience with others. As we look, and we've been through the last few days, and as the shelves have become empty in the stores, and as there's no toilet paper on the shelf anymore, and there's none of this and none of that, I can't help but smile a little bit when I see that there's no toilet paper. I don't know what the deal is with the toilet paper, but at any rate, there's no toilet paper on the shelf. And you know, there is some things that are happening in our grocery stores. You see people losing long-suffering one with another, losing patience one with another. Well, Christian people, if we're going to be evident, we're going to allow this fruit, we're going to allow these symptoms to be evident in our life, we need to be long-suffering with others, even when they're doing things that doesn't make sense to us, even when they're doing things that may harm us somewhat. I want to ask you something this morning. How long-suffering has Christ been with you? Even though time and time again, we've done things that have hurt him. We have done things that he maybe not understood why we were doing what we were doing in our Christian lives, but yet the long-suffering that he has had for us. Do you have the symptom of long-suffering? Gentleness, simply kindness. Are you kind one to another? Are you kind to a lost and a dying world? You want to know something? That sometimes we think that people are acting so rude and people are acting so awful and all these different things. But I want to tell you something. If they're lost, they're just acting like lost people. They're just acting like lost people should. The only thing that they have is a hope in this world. And I don't want you to know this morning that they're only acting the way that they know to act. But we as Christians, we should be gentle. We should be kind one to another and to a lost and a dying world. Goodness. Generosity. I want to challenge you this week. I want to challenge you to think about the people who sit around you in this congregation on Sunday mornings. I want to challenge you to reach out to them, to check on them. Maybe send them a little something funny to brighten their day. Maybe there's a verse of scripture that you're leaning on during this time that could help them. Just take a little bit of goodness in your life, a little bit of generosity, and I want you to send it out to them. Reach out to them. Check on some of the elderly here in our church. Let's have the symptom of goodness in our life. Number seven, faith. Dependability. Are you dependable? Are you doing the things that you should be doing? Number eight, meekness. Courtesy and consideration of one's relationship with others. Meekness doesn't mean that you beat yourself down all the time. Meekness doesn't mean that you think that you are just unworthy, that you're no better than dirt. Meekness is not that. Meekness is knowing where I'm at with God, knowing where I'm at, but also lifting others up above myself. Temperance is self-control. Something that we may all need a little more of, something that would even help as far as the works of the flesh and the works of the Spirit, or the fruit of the Spirit in our life. What I want to ask you this morning, as we look at these nine symptoms that are laid out, I want to challenge you and I want to challenge myself that we allow all nine symptoms to be more evident in our life as they lay out symptoms for different things. There's two or three, and you may say, well, I got this one, but I don't have this one, and I don't know whether I've got this or not. But I want you to know something. If you go and you're possessing all of the symptoms that they're saying that you will have with a specific sickness or a specific disease or anything, and you're possessing all of the symptoms, they're going to be pretty sure that you've got whatever it is. Well, this morning, I know that in my life, there are some of these nine symptoms that I need to come to alive a little more in my life. I need to possess these so that the fruit of the Spirit is stronger in my life. But I want to show you something else as we're looking at these nine symptoms. If we possess all nine symptoms, if we possess these nine symptoms in our life and they're strong in our life, I want to show you what it's going to be, what the outcome of that's going to be. Right now, with this pandemic that we're facing, if you possess the symptoms of it and you show up somewhere, first of all, if you show up and you've got a fever and you're coughing, and I don't know about some of you, but my allergies are going crazy right now. I mowed the yard yesterday. My eyes are watering this morning. When I get a little tickle in my throat, I'm almost ashamed to cough right now, but it's one of those things I kind of, you know, just try to cover it really good and just scratch the tickle in my throat. Because if we're possessing symptoms right now, the first thing everybody does is back away from us. They want to get away. But if you go to a healthcare provider and you're possessing all of the symptoms and they think that you may have what's going around, they're going to label you as contagious. I want you to know this morning that as we look at these verses of Scripture in Galatians chapter number 5, if you possess these nine symptoms, these nine attributes of the fruit of the Spirit, you're going to be contagious for the glory of God. You're going to have something going on in your life that's going to make you contagious to go out into a world that's needing what you got, that is absolute. They're looking for it whether they know it or not, and you're going to become contagious. Matthew chapter number 5, verse number 16, the Bible says, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. They may see your symptoms. We're not saved by our works, and we know that. We're saved by the finished work of Calvary. We're saved by Jesus Christ giving his life there and shedding his blood for us. We're not saved by works, but I want you to know that it is our works. It is our symptoms that the lost and the dying world can see. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. They may see your symptoms and glorify your Father which is in heaven." If we have these symptoms in our life, if we have these nine things, people are going to catch what you've got. That should be our goal as Christian people. It's not to gain financial status in this world. It's not to gain more possessions. But our goal should be that others come to know Jesus Christ. And in order for that to happen, we need to become contagious with these symptoms that we've read about this morning. People will catch what you got. Some people won't be able to help it. They're going to be so exposed that it will begin to affect their life. They're going to be around you, and whether they're knowing it or not, that they're going to be affected by your life, that those symptoms are going to begin to rub off on them, that you're going to be so contagious that your life is going to affect them in a way that they begin to search their heart. They begin to look at their works of the flesh, and they may begin to desire the fruit of the Spirit. They may desire that relationship that you have with Jesus Christ. There'll be others that will actually be wanting to be around you so they can try and catch it. You know, I remember when I was little that people would actually talk about if someone got chicken pox, that they would send all of the kids together so that everybody would go ahead and get the chicken pox and they would be over it and then be done with it. They would actually want to catch it. Well, I want you to know something, that if we possess the nine symptoms that Paul has given us here in the book of Galatians, if we possess these nine symptoms, that we'll become so contagious that there's actually going to be people who want what you have. They're going to want to be around you. They're going to want something to rub off on them. They will want to be like you and to experience what you have in their own life. They've been searching for it. They've been searching for peace. They've been searching for mercy. They've been searching for some of these nine symptoms that we've talked about this morning. And you will be so contagious that they will actually want to be around you. As we look here in Galatians chapter number 5 this morning, I want you to know these symptoms and whether or not you are contagious is absolutely affecting others. Just for a play on words this morning, I want you to know that whether or not you possess these symptoms, if you say you're a born-again child of God, and whether or not you possess these symptoms, you are absolutely affecting or infecting others. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter number 14, verse number 7, that no man will live unto himself and no man will die unto himself. If I'm talking the talk and not walking the walk, I'm absolutely affecting someone else. If I allow these symptoms to be evident in my life, I'm affecting someone else. If I'm going around and I say that I know Jesus Christ and none of these symptoms are evident in my life, but yet the works of the flesh are evident in my life, I'm infecting others around me. We as Christians, I'm afraid so many times, we all have a testimony. And you've either got a testimony that's for the Lord that possesses these symptoms, or you got a testimony that is pulling people away from the love of God. No man liveth unto himself, no man dieth unto himself. My question to you this morning, if you want to say, I'm a Christian, I believe in Jesus Christ, I'm a follower of Jesus Christ, then these nine symptoms, these nine attributes of the fruit of the Spirit should be evident in our life. I know there's going to be days when it's easier than others. There's going to be days when things are stronger in your life than others are. There's going to be days when you fall. There's going to be days when you fail, that you wasn't very long-suffering, that you wasn't very joyful or peaceful or whatever. There's going to be days like that. But I just want you to know that whether or not these symptoms are real in our life will absolutely control how contagious we are, and it will also affect or infect others around us. You may be here this morning. You may be lost. You may be watching this on Facebook this morning. You may be looking at your life and you may be saying, you know what? These works of the flesh are easy. These works of the flesh may be where my life is. You may be looking and you may be saying, but I'm a good person. I believe in God. I don't harm anyone. I work hard to provide for my family. You may have all of these attributes, but none of them are the symptoms of the fruit of the Spirit. You may be looking this morning, you may be saying, well, you know what? I'm not doing all these awful things that is in verses 19 through 21. Those things are not, but you know what? If we're guilty of one sin, we're guilty of them all. And your little bitty sin that you may have put Jesus on the cross just as much as some of these great big sins that we read about in Galatians chapter number 5. This morning, if you're watching us on Facebook, if you realize that you've never asked Jesus Christ to come into your life, that these symptoms are not in your life, that you never ask him to forgive you of your sins, you fall at the end of verse number 21. And they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Well, preacher, you don't understand. I don't do those things there. No. But just being a good, you know, the Bible tells me that my righteousness is as filthy rags. There's no way in the world I could ever be good enough to deserve to go to heaven. There's no way in the world that I could be good enough to stand before a holy and a righteous God. But you know what happened? When I was 7 years old, I asked Jesus Christ to come into my life. I asked him to forgive me of my sins. And it's no longer on my goodness, but it's on his righteousness and his holiness. It's on his finished work at the cross. And then those fruit of the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit, those symptoms started to become evident in my life. And I'm continually to work on them. And I'm continually to crucify the flesh every single day. But if you're listening this morning and you're lost and you don't know Jesus Christ, I don't want you to stand before God on your own righteousness. I don't want you to stand before God on your own works. I don't want you to stand before God with the works of the flesh being the only thing that you have to lean on. But I want you to stand before God knowing that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. It's as simple as knowing that Jesus Christ loved you so much that he gave his life on a cross, that he shed his blood for you, that you know that you're a sinner, and that you ask Jesus Christ to forgive you of your sins and to come into your life. That's as simple as it is. There's a Romans road that we can go through. There's all kinds of scripture that we can go through. But the question that I have for you this morning is, do you know that you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ? Maybe you're listening to us, this morning, You say, preacher, I'm saved. I know without a doubt I'm saved. We done something really neat on our Facebook post last night and just had people start listing their age, their date, or maybe even the place where they accepted Jesus Christ. And man, just to see and read what people were putting, and I had my arm hair was standing up as I was reading it. I could feel the Holy Spirit just speaking to me, just reading about all the people accepting Jesus Christ, knowing the experience that they had because I've been there myself. But maybe you're listening and you're saved. You know without a doubt that you're saved. You could even pencil in, this is the day that I was saved. This is how old I was. This is the place I was. But you look at your life and the symptoms, the fruit of the Spirit is not evident in your life. Maybe you're not crucifying the flesh. Maybe you found yourself that you're walking with the works of the flesh being more evident in your life than the symptoms of the fruit of the Spirit. What that does is that makes us not very contagious for the glory of God. But I want to give you some encouragement. 1 John chapter 1, verse number 9. The Bible tells us if we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I've been saved since I was 7 years old. Many, many times I've had to either come to an altar, kneel down beside my bed, sitting in the woods somewhere, and realizing God speak to my heart and let me know that I was not crucifying the flesh, that the symptoms of the fruit of the Spirit was not evident in my life. And I've had to go to God and say, God, I'm sorry. God, forgive me for not being where I should be. God, help me to walk in the way. God, help me to surrender my life to You over and over and over again. Sometimes it's almost daily in my life that I have to do that. If you're listening this morning and you find yourself in that situation, I want to encourage you right now, wherever you're at, just as we were bragging about at the beginning of the service, that we don't have to be in church to be in the presence of God. You don't have to be in church to get right with God. Maybe you found yourself in a place that you need to rededicate your life unto God this morning, or you found yourself in a place that you need to ask Jesus Christ to forgive you of your sins. There's no better time than right now. Even though we're not in the church, today is the day of salvation. Today is the day to make that relationship right with Christ. If you will, for just a moment, if you will, bow your head, close your eyes. I want you to take for just a moment. If you're in the house, if you can, just have everybody just be still for just a minute and just take a look at our own lives. Not at the person across the living room, not at the person that may be still in the basement, but you look inside you. What are the symptoms that are in your life? Are you contagious? Are we walking where God wants us to walk? If you're here, if you're listening this morning, and you know that you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, wherever you're at right now, I beg you to ask Him to forgive you of your sins. I beg you to realize the love that He had for you, to put these works of the flesh behind you, to begin to crucify the flesh and allow these symptoms of the fruit of the Spirit to grow in your life. Lord, we thank You and we praise You for all that You do for us. God, we thank You for this time that we've had to get into Your Word. And God, I know sometimes these symptoms are not evident in my life. God, sometimes I'm not very contagious. Sometimes I'm infecting people instead of affecting people. And God, I pray that You'll help me to live in my life in a way that crucifies the flesh and allows the fruit of the Spirit to be evident. God, I want to thank You that for forgiveness, for mercy and grace, that when I do come to the place that I realize where I'm at with You, and if I'm not in the right relationship, that I can ask forgiveness, and that You said You'll be faithful and just to forgive me. God, I pray if there's one that's lost, that's listening, that's praying with us right now, God, I pray that You'll speak to their heart. God, I pray that they'll realize that they're a sinner and ask Jesus Christ to forgive them of their sins, and God, let them become part of the family. God, we thank You again for this opportunity that we've had. God, I pray that You'll bless us this week. Help us, God, to allow these symptoms to be so evident in our life that we're so contagious that we give You glory and point others to the cross of Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you again for being with us this morning. I'm going to step aside in just a minute, but if you will, keep listening for just a minute. Randall has a post that he wants to put on the end of the live feed this morning. Thank you.
This is Randall at Fellowship. We would like to take a moment of your time to just say thank you from the bottom of our hearts for joining us for today's message. Even though we can't meet in one physical location, we can still meet in spirit and truth to worship our Lord and Savior. We would like everyone to know that if during this broadcast, if you felt the Lord speaking to you, pulling at your heart, feeling the need for salvation or rededication, please get in touch with us by sending us a message through Messenger on our Facebook page. We would love to talk with you and answer any questions you may have about these very important life-changing decisions. Or if you have a special prayer request or special need, please let us know that as well. We'd love to hear from you and help in any way that we can. There's a great number of people that can start praying for these needs today. Either spoken or unspoken request, God knows the need and can answer each one in His way and time. Also, if you would just like to know more about our church, like what we believe, some of the things you can be involved in, information about our youth group, church location and service times, feel free to visit our website at www.fellowship-bc.org. It has a ton of information about our church on there for you to read, such as social media connections, previous sermons, and some great music from our choir and special singers. Plus, now we offer online tithing or donations. At the top of the website page, you will see a small yellow donate button. Just click on it and you will be taken to the secure PayPal church page. You can make donations from there even without a PayPal account. If you don't feel comfortable donating that way, you can always mail them to the church street address, 1421 Little Mountain Church Road, Ararat, North Carolina, 27007. And of course, that information is on our Facebook and website pages for later reference if you need it. Support your church all you can, and I'm sure the Lord will bless you for it. One last thing, I'm going to remind you again to hit the share button on our live services. The number of people and locations that we reach with just doing that one little thing is amazing. There's a lot of people just scrolling Facebook, maybe looking for some truth in today's crazy times, and they stumble upon a post that you shared. Just by doing that one little simple thing may save a lost soul. We may never know who we reach or help, but God knows, and He knows exactly what buttons to push. Thank you again for being with us, and keep us all in your prayers, and these online services in your prayers as well, as we will continue to pray for each of you. God bless you.